to the blockchain.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Henry Rain Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. Heard every Saturday, 12.05 p.m. till about 1.30 p.m., unless we decide to run a little bit longer. Bringing you your weekly roundup of Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, blockchain news, and a week it has been with it's all fudded up this week in the market. Fear and uncertainty and doubt rules as crypto plunges. The SEC says crypto exchanges must register and crypto investors run from the falling sky. Did the Mt. Gox trustee crash the market by liquidating $400 million of Bitcoin? Well, if he did, hang on, because he still has $2 billion to go. And Coinbase has a big announcement. Another way to buy their existing products. And CNBC, the crypto news broadcasting company, was there to help him announce it. And will Bradenton become the center of the universe for crypto and blockchain? Yes, that's held over from last week because we have more announcements and more to tell you about. Working our way around to the panel here, full house in the studio today. We have Alex Solis from Solis Digital Assets. We have Sabine Priestley from SabinePriestley.com. We have Lennart Lopen from the Byte Federal ATM Company. We have Augie and whatever we wind up calling his title here, the panelist formerly known as the contrarian, Augie. And
does that mean that I'm now a believer, or what does that mean?
I don't know.
You
dropped the contrarian intro for the lunatic intro, and I just have a little difficulty saying lunatic in the studio.
Well, that's all right. I think lunacy is what I'm dealing with. and the moon does fly high, so when everything falls out of the sky, don't look to the moon to save you.
The lunacy receptor, Augie, is in the studio. Lennart, you were going to say something.
Yeah, it still sounds very contrarian to me.
Well, it should. It should. Anybody who follows Milton Friedman.
The contrary lunatic, Augie, is here in the studio. Yeah, and, of course, Goldbug1, a.k.a. Andy. Andy, we were going to talk a little bit more. We'll go into news in just a moment for those that just tuned in. But at the meetup on Saturday for Bradenton, Bradenton Bitcoin and Cryptocurrency, Mark Principato, co-founder of Seeking Cryptos, will be there March 24th, 3 to 4:30 at Connect Bradenton. And then I know we're going to announce more details about the location, but there's also going to be, I guess, after the meetup will be the special, what are you calling that, a seminar, a learning experience, all of the above?
I think we're doing it for the day before.
The day before?
Yes.
So we'll have to be sure and tune in next week for more details.
Well, you're in charge of that, Henry. I mean, you're waiting to the last minute to release all this stuff?
Oh, so that's at Connect, too?
Yes. Okay. No. I didn't even get the question that I'm answering it because I realize I can't wait another moment to get moving, so I'm just going to start answering questions now. But it will be at some place spectacular.
Spectacular.
And the food will be tremendous.
Unbelievable.
And the information will feed you like no food ever could.
I mean, I don't know if anybody knows Mark's background, but yes, I mean, to have somebody that actually used to train people to trade for larger institutions, I mean, that's just a good opportunity to go
I'm
there, especially when it's free.
And I think, isn't Joseph from J Squared going to come too?
I believe he is. We have him. We haven't had him confirm yet, but
You have him.
Well, he's actually a partner with us now. We've actually partnered up with him to provide a complete
he's a principal
full service.
Of SeekingCryptos.com?
We have him on there. So actually, we had an error in our website, and I lost all I lost Joseph's bio and everything. It was just takes hours for me to do that.
How can you lose Joseph's bio? He's only, what, 24?
I know, and I lost his bio, and I lost another. I am not a website guy.
All right, and then you have another. Your stable of Seeking Cryptos is growing beyond that, I understand, too.
That is correct. I mean, we are going to be doing, this is getting down the line, but we will be doing the 4X stocks and
I was talking more on like the individuals that you are adding to the
stable. Oh yes, I mean it's we have a powerhouse of you know professional guys coming in, and we have another one that'll be announced very shortly. I mean he has the we're talking about algorithmic trading, the largest number one rated algorithm trading platform in the world. Unbelievable.
Do you have another person you want to?
Absolutely. I mean, and this guy is too. This guy is just. It's going to blow your mind.
How about a female columnist? You got one of those?
Of course, we have all that covered, and she actually is a Forex boot camp trainer. So she trades. She trades people to do Forex, but she's also into. Here's kind of interesting. You know, Sabine and Crypto Girl Colleen are all into the ICOs and. And Gillian Patrice is into ICOs, too. And she's I'm going to release an article, you'll love it, that she wrote on three new upcoming ICOs that are out there.
Well, that's not the only person that would love it. Alex would love it because he studies ICOs more harder and longer than anyone else that I know. All right, let's get on with
this. Is that a guitar in the background?
Yeah, I was pulling an Augie here, I think. I digress. Let's get this thing going.
I tell you, I've got news for you.
We've got news for you, and it's similar to the news almost every week here that leads, and that is the market. Bitcoin's price dropped below 9,000, dropping to 8,539 on Friday before recovering somewhat now. After hitting a weekly high of 11,675 on March 5th, Bitcoin started dropping almost 27% to that low. As I said, it's recovered somewhat from there. Total market capitalization of cryptocurrencies hit a monthly low of $344 billion, has come back to above $358 billion. Some of the reasons in this, the market downturn, is likely caused by the March 7th statement from U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC, that all cryptocurrency exchanges trading securities are required to register with the commission. Again, also pressure on cryptocurrency market was increased by, quote, punishment notices for seven cryptocurrency exchanges issued by the Japanese Financial Service Agency, FSA. And then multiple reports also concluded that the current cryptocurrency downturn since late December is a result of $400 million sell-off of Bitcoin between December and February by attorney and bankruptcy trustee of Mt. Gox, formerly the largest Bitcoin exchange in the world before it went bankrupt in 2014. And reportedly, there is still another close, depending on the price of Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash, $2 billion to divest. Although we have a soundbite later that will tease that there might be something else going on there. But speaking of teasing, I know there's someone else that wants to speak to the latter story. And that, of course, would be the contrarian in the room, at least to that story, Lennart. What do you say to all that?
As one of the people who had some Bitcoin on Mt. Gox and sitting through this whole Japanese bureaucracy trying to get us some of the money back, it's really terrible to see that they're selling the coins and are giving us the dollars instead of just giving us the coins that they're sitting on. And they could have done this years ago, of course. So it's frustrating. I know for a lot of people in the forums that you have this long wait time, and then all you end up with is Japanese yen or dollars instead of the Bitcoin, which of course has appreciated in value tremendously.
It's a conspiracy, Leonard. It's definitely a conspiracy. They're trying to push down the price. You see Goldman Sachs coming in, and they're just trying to get the price down so they can get in cheaper. I mean, this is ridiculous. They should have given you guys the coins.
Well, this is the thing. I mean, I guess they tried to, not looking at a conspiracy idea, just following Japanese, I guess, laws and rules. Maybe they didn't have any for Bitcoin. I can understand. But even Marco Pelis, who was the original CEO, ran the thing into the ground, said, you know what? It will probably make more sense to recreate Mt. Gox as a new exchange, obviously with someone else running it, and take, I think, who did this, Bitfinex, when they got hacked, right? They set up a token internally so that everybody who lost money would be able to convert at least to a certain percentage their holdings. That would have worked great. We would have had another exchange. All of us would have gotten some Bitcoin, which from then, this is 2014, right? We would have made more than the money back that we lost. Right?
Absolutely. So.
In 2014, Mark Capellas is still under trial. He's pled not guilty to embezzlement charges. And
yeah. The funny thing is he's probably going to be richer than ever before, even if after everything is said and done, because he's still sitting on his own coins, I believe so.
He hasn't had to yield those over for damages?
I think there is some of the stuff that he really owns that he can take is his, and it was in Bitcoin. So that's had the injury to...
It'll go to Monero.
So have you received any disbursements yet from your settlement?
No. It's really a slow process. You know, it took them ages to verify that you actually had an account. Then it took a long time for them to actually display the balances. Years, we're talking years. Right? And I guess, I think last time I checked was late 2017. They're like, yeah, we're working on converting the Bitcoin into dollars. So, you know, no update.
Or they should have just given you the Bitcoin back. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. We've just gotten a quarter or...
So, to the best of your knowledge, if the reports are true that the trustee has redeemed $400 million worth, is that the first redemption that you know of?
I don't know. We as the people sitting on those lists, we haven't received any communication so far. So I heard it through the media the first time a few days ago that this was going on. So I'm surprised, actually. We were wondering, you know, for the last 2 or 3 years why nothing has happened.
Now, we can argue whether or not that amount is enough to move the market. But in particular in the report, and let me go to Andy on this, it said at the market low, the recent one around February 5th or 6th, that the trustee started panic selling and really dumped Bitcoin onto the market. And by the way, we can also point out that all the Bitcoin that are held, whatever was remaining, also received a Bitcoin cash. So there was that airdrop of all those funds, too. $400 million dispersed either all at once or over time in the size of the Bitcoin market. Let's also point out, though, that a lot of the, even though the market cap may be $150 billion, $160 billion at this time.
But see, Henry, what they did is they took the, let's say you were sitting on four coins, for instance, right? They took the price, I think, of 2013. And then they said, okay, so you were sitting on $4,000 or whatever dollars, and that's what they were trying to give you back. Well, then actually they took, I think, a cut off of that. So a third of the $4,000 would be yours, so $1,000. If you set on four Bitcoin, you will end up with $1,000.
That's nuts. I mean, that just shows you what happens when you get lawyers and government officials involved.
Well, I mean we're talking about the Japanese court system. We don't really know what's going to happen.
It's the same.
But let's go to the question here, because even though the market cap of Bitcoin, let's just say roughly $150 billion, $175 billion, a lot of that is tied up and isn't in the daily trading or in the monthly trading. It's just held. So do you think $400 million could move a market?
Absolutely. I mean, it depends how it comes in. If you dump it all at once, I mean, you're gonna clear out the whole damn, you're gonna clear out the
But there you would think, Andrew, I don't know if you agree, but the trading going on globally, we'll probably see a spike on the Japanese market, and it would bounce back relatively quickly as the
algorithmic traders come in for arbitrage. You know, I mean,
and what if there's still $2 billion out there to
when you hear panic, you think, okay, he's panicked, he's going to sell a big chunk. I mean, if you look on there at any time, I mean, even on Coinbase, I mean, you're looking at 50, 100 coins. You know,
bitcoins.
Bitcoins. There is the the depth chart on the depth chart, or you go.
You know what's really funny is at this point you might say that the handling of the bankruptcy was actually more mismanaged than Mt. Gox going under, because if they had managed it like Bitfinex, we'd be totally fine after half a year. Everything would be come back.
Absolutely. I mean, and it should be going to Bitfinex because they are the largest exchange. I mean, you could dump it across all the exchanges and not make one exchange go down. I mean, the issue with algorithmic trading is you, all of a sudden, you get those triggers going in, and then you start getting margin calls, and then it just.
Well, they're having their own problem with the banking system not supporting the exchanges, right? Which makes it really hard. Otherwise, we'd be seeing global prices much more in line with each other.
Absolutely. And, but it's interesting you're saying that they're only giving you the cash value back. At that, where's all the other money going?
Yeah, where's the Bitcoin Cash going?
Yeah, I mean, where does all that go?
That's a good question. You have to look it up, but there's an article somewhere talking about that Marco Palis might end up with more money than anybody else after this is settled and done.
There's a simple two-word phrase, engine givers. Givers give you one thing and hand you back something entirely different. This is called playing the people.
I think in this current political climate that that is a bad phrase to be using, Mr. Contrary Lunatic.
Well, politically correct doesn't work. The Indians were smarter.
What is on your side?
Well, the Indians were smarter than the white people in those days. They knew what they knew what they had, and they knew what they, the other.
I thought you were talking about Southern Asian people.
Well, I'm talking about local Indians.
Southeast Seminoles? Yeah. I'm getting all confused
well,
here.
They won their. They have the land. They have the casinos. They have the game.
All right. Well, if you're listening in Seattle, I know you're confused right now. Let's go back to something you may have heard of that also contributes. Well, one other thing quickly about the point you were making about the margin calls, but also stop losses start triggering when this stuff happens.
And this is what scares me, and maybe Leonard can feed in on this, is that some of these kids, and I'm going to say kids because they're not experienced traders, are out there and they're margining 50 to 1 on Bitcoin.
Who allows you to do that?
BitMax has 25. I saw yesterday a friend of ours posting, and you woke up to a Bugatti or something.
Oh.
Shorting 25 times Bitcoin.
That's crazy. I mean, that's just nuts. And eventually it's going to catch up with the market, and one of those exchanges is going to go down.
Alex, do any of your clients extend themselves on margin or short the market, either technique?
No, but I know Joseph does for sure.
Yeah. Joseph from J Square. We really shouldn't speak for him if he's not here to talk about that. But hopefully we'll get him back and we can ask him that.
Yeah, I'm not sure you can short from the United States market, can you?
I thought so too. I was it BitMEX? Yes, yeah, so there's some.
Bittrex you can short?
What are they called? CDFs? CFDs? CDFs?
Yeah, maybe.
Where you can do that. I don't know how.
That's just suicide. That's pretty much suicide.
So, Bittrex, you can short. You're not talking about margin. You're talking about shorting, selling against the market.
No, margining. Like, you can, you put your assets up and borrow money.
Okay, but that's margin. That's different from
shorting the market.
Yeah. All right, we're going to get in the weeds here.
You can do both.
But it may segue into this. So, there were a lot of things this week in the market that drove the market down, at least from the opinion makers on CNBC, the crypto news broadcasting company. U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission now require that platform trading digital assets meet the definition of a security. Meet the definition of a security must register with the agency as an exchange. Now, this is contrary to some other news we're going to go to in just a second. That was in a public statement March 7th, and all of a sudden the markets started to collapse. Cryptocurrency exchange would be substantially governed by the same rules as traditional exchange. For this reason, they must register with the SEC, quote, as a national securities exchange or be exempt from registration, which is interesting, or be exempt, which I'm sure nobody bothered to get past the first paragraph when they were reading these stories. They warned that many online trading platforms referring themselves to the exchange are currently unregulated. Big surprise there if you've been here very long. And, quote, the SEC staff has concerns that many online trading platforms appear to investors as SEC-registered and regulated marketplaces when they are not. Finally, the SEC added that entities aiming to operate as an ATS, an alternative trading system, are also subject to regulatory requirements. Exchanges of this kind should register with the SEC as a broker-dealer and become a member of a self-regulatory organization. What is that mess?
Well, you know, I'll tell you exactly what it is. The new SEC chief, I can't remember his name, but he's a former Goldman Sachs. And then you see Goldman Sachs is bought, what is it, Poloniex? I call it Poloniex, but
well, they're
Poloniex or whatever.
Their startup
that they invest venture capital money in.
Of course,
you know, that's just removing liability. Everybody does that. They never go right into it, but I mean, you're starting to see some of the larger ones, and I tell you, watch for Fidelity or one of those to look for one of the other to buy one of the other platforms. But they're trying to get the mainstream investment. Now it's a twofold thing. In one aspect, right now they're unregulated, which is the libertarian view, which is why Bitcoin, rose to where it has. The other side is, once these are regulated, you're going to see larger investors come in. You'll see, you know, more hedge funds have more about hedge funds, pension plans, and a lot of large institutions will feel a lot better coming into the market. And there's a lot of money sitting on the sidelines right now.
But Andy, how many U.S. exchanges are unregulated at this point? There is, as far as I know, there's only Bittrex and Kraken, right, or Kraken.
There's Bittrex.
That are unregulated. The other
I thought Kraken was in UK.
No, they
have a U.S. operation.
Yeah, okay. And they're based in San Francisco, but I believe they're if you go on their websites, they say they're registered or regulated.
So then it's just Bittrex, because we really don't have that many exchanges in the United States. I think that's unfortunate. But
let's just, for the audience, it may not be thinking, everybody knows Coinbase.
Coinbase, right, regulated.
Kraken and Gemini also.
Gemini's
those
regulated.
Are the Winklevoss twins own that. Or at least they're partial owners. Those are all in San Francisco, I believe.
Poloniex is now owned by Goldman Sachs indirectly and said they are going to regulate themselves completely just like the others are. And the SEC said, actually, if you clean up your mess, we're not going to go after you, which puts pressure on Bittrex and Kraken, or if they're not regulated. Mm-hmm. But that's it, right? So I don't understand this statement by the SEC. Who are they going to go after? Like exchanges overseas?
Well, I think it's more the ICOs type, the ICOs that get
when you go farther, they said they did release this, quote, to protect investors and prevent fraudulent manipulating trading practices. So the whole statement was really just a warning. It wasn't directed at any of the exchanges, but, of course, anything these days, in light of perhaps the Mt. Gox divestiture, which crashed the market in just a month ago, is taken as the sky is falling. And let me go to one more thing here, because I think it's contradictory here to just that. Even as a warning, a New York federal judge ruled yesterday, that being March 6th, that the Commodities Futures Trading Commission, CFTC, can regulate cryptocurrencies such as Bitcoin. The judge, Jack Weinstein, decision was based on the CFTC's 2015 determination that cryptocurrencies are equivalent to commodities. And the CNBC reports that the judge had wide leeway in applying federal commodity regulation. So here we have, historically, at least in the few years we have a history, that it's been viewed as a commodity in this country, subject to the regulation of the CFTC. Now the SEC is saying they need to be regulated, or rather not regulated, but registered with the SEC as either a traditional exchange or as a alternative trading system. And so I don't think we have any clarity at all from all this.
Well, let's real quick, not to get into the depth of this, but Bitcoin is a commodity. It's not, or you could consider it a currency. But it will not. It's not considered a security because it was never released as a hope to, you know, it just came out. You had it, you owned it, and it just became valuable because it became valuable. Whereas something like, you know, a startup that's coming out with a coin that's going to, you know, revolutionize, you know, radio shows, you're buying into it in the hope that
the Reins coin?
Yeah, the Reins coin. There we go, the Reins coin. You're buying into it hoping that Henry Reins is going to be successful and it's going to be useful. And, you know, that's where this SEC is clamping down on. So
really,
if you're an exchange and you have those, then they want you to audit those. And I believe that's what they're going to go after. And I think that's what the thing was for Polonia.
Just a second. You would know this probably better than anybody in the studio here. So in, like, the oil commodity trading, that's regulated by the CFTC, right?
Definitely, correct.
If it's a futures, it's the CFTC, commodities and futures trading. But just in the general commodities market, that's going to be under the CFTC. So we have that's what I think. It seems totally contradictory for the SEC to proclaim these things. And your company is the only one here in the room that actually has to deal with compliance on these things. What is your knowledge of what a alternative trading system? I know you aren't an exchange; you're told something different. But you must have had to look at some of these things. What's the National Security Exchange? What's an alternative trading system? Do you know?
I do not know. What I do know is if you do want to run an exchange in the United States, you need a money transmitter license for all 50 states. That's going to be very expensive. Or you buy a bank. What's interesting, I'm confused whether the SEC actually, because they came out before talking about ICOs. This seemed to me more going towards the order book issue, right? Like, we don't know really how you're handling your exchanges. They could even alternatively come out with a standard like HTML. So like, show us the source code, make it transparent for your order books, and follow basic compliance rules, and be done with it. You know, it will be all protecting the investors, and there will be no confusion. It will be pretty straightforward.
Well, I think they actually put it back on the platforms and said the platforms need to get together and, you know, come up with a self-regulation, you know.
Because there's really only two problems. One is who is using the money, and you kind of want to prevent terrorism and all that kind of stuff. And the other thing is how is your exchange run so there's no, you know, sort of crooked trading stuff going on where you're taking advantage of it.
And I just need to quickly say, speaking of compliance, you're listening to WWPR, 1490 AM, Bradenton, Sarasota, St. Petersburg, Tampa Bay. You wanted to say something.
Yeah, it's where's the model for this? Because you're talking all around this thing. If there's a model that works, the SEC is going to look for which one does work and protects people because that's what they're purchasing.
Which model are you talking about?
That's my question. Where is the model?
Well, I guess it would be Japan because they've actually regulated. We'll get to that story in a moment, but they're actually licensing and regulating exchanges. But I don't know if that would be the model we would want here. Excuse me just a second, Andy. You would think with Coinbase, if anyone is compliant, Coinbase would be the one. And I don't know that they call themselves by the name the SEC said, the either the alternative trading system or a national security exchange, which seems to be the phrase that is operative here.
Perhaps it's something they're working on. I've never heard that before either.
Well, they do have a list of requirements for a coin to come on to be listed on Coinbase. So, I mean,
but the exchange itself. All right, so I don't think we're going to get an answer to that. Let me do one quick story here, and then we'll move on, because all this follows from that. So we've said the SEC is investigating ICOs in past show. We didn't really touch on it too much this one. They may issue the warning about exchanges being regulated, or rather registered. I've got to get my words clear there. Registered, regulated was not mentioned. And then the judge's decision that it's really the CFTC's decision on these things. Well, in the light of all of that, this past week, the Praetorian Group, referring to themselves as the cryptocurrency real estate investment vehicle, that's a phrase that I guess they've come up with, CREIV, because we don't have enough acronyms in this space, cryptocurrency real estate investment vehicle has filed with the U.S. Securities and Exchange, the SEC, to register their $75 million initial coin offering as a security offering. If the SEC accepts it, then the Praetorian Group will be the first company to ever SEC register an ICO. And while the filing states that there will be 200 million of the group's PAX tokens on the Ethereum blockchain, the company's only registering 50 million. But what's interesting to me is their logic behind this. The real estate-backed tokens will be offered for $5 payable by crypto to what the company says is accredited investors. Now, that's someone with $1 million of net worth or has an income of $200,000 a year. They said they did this, and this is the kicker here, notwithstanding our belief that the PAX token might not constitute a security, we feel given the uncertainties from a regulatory standpoint that it is more prudent to deem the PAX token a security and follow through with the registration process before the SEC and gain the SEC necessary approvals as a registered security. So they don't even know if they're supposed to do this. They're just going to do it just in case.
It's pretty clear they need to register. I mean, what's the difference in doing a real estate fund, an REIT? So, I mean, there's no difference in issuing it as a coin or as in shares.
But the accredited investor regulation now makes it impossible for the small guy to take advantage of it, right?
And that's what really upsets me about it. Absolutely. I mean, and that's, you know, the whole thing for blockchain is to give the little guy a chance, and you can't get in on that, and it's only meant for guys like Augie here.
The $200,000 factor of income is the key, and the small guy can be in that category, actually. Depends on what his investments already are.
Well, maybe in the $1 million. Actually, in the $1 million net worth, that may not be out of hand because there are many people. No, really, because there are people that have held their family home. I talked to financial consultants, and union workers that had $3 million net worth after they sold their home and their pension fund. It's not common, but it's bigger than you might be making out.
Which is funny. I guess all the Bitcoin holders now, right, we're using a currency that's not inflating, might be able to become accredited investors.
Maybe I'm speaking for myself, but I am not a millionaire by any means, and I would not qualify. And I know a lot of people that are like that.
You're not making $200,000 a year trading?
Yeah.
Need to charge more for those dinners this coming
year. The REITs themselves can produce that kind of income. Once you get into the REITs at the right level, it's not that hard to do.
It would really be nice if a normal citizen around the globe could invest in an ICO.
I'm sponsoring
an
Audi seminar.
And that's the whole point of having these points.
Kickstarter, I think, has shown us the light, and it would be really nice if we could do something with the ICO.
Yeah, I mean, to say, oh, well, you know, most of the people have their house. I mean, to be honest, I think it's BS. I mean, to be honest with you, the guy like Alex here in the studio, who is the up-and-coming entrepreneur, he cannot invest into that. So, I mean, getting in at an early age, and Augie, if you of all people should know this, getting in at an early age and investing your money into these types of things can make you a millionaire when you're older.
Alex may be an accredited investor by the time he files his income tax return for this year.
The Lamborghini, yeah.
I'm thinking it. If not this
That's
year,
throwing
next
your
year,
money away.
How is he going to retire in a year if he isn't making that kind of income?
It's a depreciating asset, Alex, Lamborghini.
All right, we'll come back on the other side with more of this and hopefully something that will bring Alex and Sabine into the conversation. Henry Rain Show here at WWPR 1490 AM in the studio. Alex Solis, Solis Digital Assets. Sabine Priestley, SabinePriestley.com. Lennart Lopin, CTO, Byte Federal, ByteFederal.com. Augie, the contrarian purveyor of lunacy.
Absolutely.
And SeekingCryptos.com co-founder, a.k.a. Andy Goldbug 1. And, well, we covered a lot of ground there, and we were talking about Coinbase and registered investors and a lot of all that. And so they had a big announcement that was teased on CNBC for a couple of days. Actually had a lot to do with Ripple's price movements going into Tuesday. Tuesday was when this interview was. And Asif Hirji, the president of Coinbase, was on there. He had this to announce to the CNBC audience.
Because just as we promised, all of you tuning in right now are going to be the first to hear about the next big thing for Coinbase. So why don't you tell us all about it?
Thank you for inviting us here and letting us do this. So, you know, we've talked a lot about the maturation of the asset class and what needs to happen. In crypto right now, it's mostly active traders, right? We're getting some institutional demand, but we haven't really done much for the individual investor. And so I'm delighted to say that today, Coinbase is announcing the launch of the Coinbase Index Fund. It's basically a very simple to use, easy way to get exposure to the crypto assets that we offer on our exchange. It's a market cap weighted index fund. It's underpinned by the Coinbase Index, which is effectively the benchmark data for crypto, which we're also announcing today. And both of those will be available very, very shortly. And people will be able to sign up, they'll be able to invest, and we'll be able to give them exposure. Now, unfortunately, day one, it'll only be available to accredited investors. Again, back to the regulatory uncertainty, those are the investors allowed to do it now. Over time, we would hope very much to expand it to all investors, right? And we're working with the regulators on what it's going to take to make that.
I just want to stop for a second. We'll get into the discussion. Listen to how he describes the behavior of the investors that he is aiming this product for, Coinbase.
What are the mechanics of this? Will you actually hold the actual cryptocurrencies that are on the exchange in order to reflect what's in the fund?
Yes.
Are you buying?
Absolutely. So there's a separate legal entity, which is completely separate from Coinbase, to protect the investors, Coinbase Asset Management. That is the entity that you will be a customer of. It will buy the assets in the fund. It'll market weight those assets. It'll rebalance those assets as the index goes up and down. And you'll be able to, just like any other fund, you'll be able to invest or redeem over time.
So it's a really interesting concept. Obviously, a lot of people get nervous about the whole idea of a cryptocurrency. I think at a conference like this, you hear digital assets and crypto assets, that sort of thing. So you actually are creating an asset class for all intents and purposes. And you see this as something that will expand users or for all intents and purposes?
I would argue that crypto is an asset class. Yeah. It's on an arc, just like every other asset class, of maturation, right? It went from the active traders to now institutions are trading it to then the individual investors are going to trade it. Individual investors, they tend to trade in index funds, right? Passive investing. That's why we've created the index and we created the index fund.
So he wants passive investors for this. Passive investors with an income of $200,000 and a minimum of $10,000 investment, and it will be a basket of the four digital currencies that are traded on Coinbase.
How do you market weight that? I mean, I just want to know. I mean, Bitcoin's so tilted.
Well, it's going to be Bitcoin dominated.
Exactly. Most of the coins they have will follow lockstep with Bitcoin. It's kind of almost pointless. Is this going to be an ETF or?
Well, in fairness, yeah. If you look a few months ago with the divergence between Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash, although you couldn't have bought Bitcoin Cash on Coinbase at the time, there was a hedging process there. And Litecoin and Ethereum have performed better at some times of the calendar by quite a bit.
I do understand if it's going to be an ETF, then on the stock market you have an extra asset class. You can balance other asset classes you're going in with and take this index fund rather than having to buy it.
I'm calling it an exchange-traded fund. That's a misnomer because it's not on an exchange other than the separate entity that Coinbase is opening. But
it's pretty much a mutual fund. I mean, it's a mutual fund for the wealthy that can afford it. They don't want the little guy in there.
And they don't know how to buy Bitcoin.
Well, that's right. It's, you know,
I imagine they have a number of customers that have $10,000 on Coinbase.
But $200,000 is the kicker, isn't it?
Yeah, the income or $1 million of net worth.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's for the bigger client. One of the things. Let me get up to this side of the studio because we're not getting much in here. Alex, I know that this isn't anything that you think your clients would be excited about. I don't want you to put words in your mouth, but am I correct on that?
Yeah, they rather do themselves.
Okay, so they're not the passive investors that Mr. Hershey is looking for that will just give them the money and not cause any problems and ask questions.
No, but I had at least 10 people ask me to do that for them. And and I really thought about it, and I didn't want to take the risk because they were trying to throw like 10, 20 grand each. Sometimes like 50 grand. I didn't want to really be in trouble like that. But you know.
Have you thought about becoming a registered investment advisor so you can do that?
Yeah, I really did. I to expand my business, yes. And because, you know, I haven't really lost money in this market, so I really feel comfortable with myself investing. And, you know, so I would definitely want to expand to that.
So what's stopping you?
I don't know. See, I don't know if I want to keep my company an educational company or an investing company.
And all the regulations.
Actually, a good thought process there. Sabine, let's go back into your personal history just a little bit on the crypto side. When was your first investment in crypto?
It was June or July last year.
Of last year. Okay. And how did you go on Coinbase, first of all?
Yeah, like most everybody went on Coinbase.
And so take us through that early process of buying crypto on Coinbase.
It was not much of a process. I mean, I linked a bank account, moved money over that just for that purpose because I didn't trust it and I didn't want to.
So they have a dollar wallet. You can put it in on Coinbase.
Yeah. Yeah.
And actually, you're probably an advantage there as far as the fees. We'll come to Coinbase fees in a second.
I stuck with Bitcoin for a while.
So you just stuck with Bitcoin.
No, I did all three.
Right when you opened up the account.
Yeah.
That's actually what I did, too. And then
I found the alts, and then I branched out. So Binance and Bittrex.
So Augie wants to jump in on this.
Yeah, I noticed that Alex said that he hasn't lost any money. I'd just like to know the status of each of the contestants around this table as to how they've done in this wonderful rainfall called Bitcoin collapse.
All right. Since I'll take the lead here. On investments prior to December, I would say I had about a 400% return as of today. From December after the market peak, I fluctuate above for investments after the peak in December, not the prior ones. Then I would say I fluctuate being in the black to break even, and every now and then below. So it's been basically flat since December on any new investments, whether it's been altcoins or
the basic. You're making money in this market right now. You're a genius.
And you, Andy?
I'm not trading this market. I made one trade, and it was NEO, and it was in and out. And other than that, I do not trade corrections. I do not like corrections.
I haven't done anything.
Yeah, they're very whipsaw-y. If you ever read Ed Sakota, the whipsaw thing, and you know, it's dangerous. But we went to a 30% cash position back right before the Bitcoin dropped. So.
Well, I did buy Mars coins.
Now, this speaks to being diversified, and I know you are, but in my trading account, on my Merrill Lynch account, actually my returns right there right now are similar to what my early crypto returns are. So, knock on wood.
Yeah. I mean,
Menard, man, you got a calculator to go back on your...
You want to go back to 2011 and my... $3 Bitcoin purchase. So the interesting thing is, like, we're at Bitcoin 8,500, 9,500 right now, right? When did we ever hit for the first time in history that level? It was like, what, last November, October? This is a few months ago.
Yeah.
So, you know, to me, this is, I don't even know if I want to talk about a correction, because Bitcoin has been going up so much over the last few years.
Yeah, Grandpa Lennard over there, man, you can't even add up all his crypto.
Call him a classic dodge.
No, that's...
Augie, every time Bitcoin comes down, I buy more. That's just what I do.
Okay,
absolutely.
Let's narrow it down, because I don't know how you would calculate all what your gross return.
And honestly, honey, I can't. It will take a while.
The stuff that wasn't lost on Mt. Gox, did that get rid of all your Bitcoin?
No. The interesting thing with digital currencies, and this, I think, is almost like a problem, is that they are like fine sand. They seep into every corporate corner. Like, if you have wallets over many years, you buy something here, there's a little bit left over there. At the end of the day, you know, a couple of years later, you have Bitcoin everywhere, you know, tiny amounts. But these tiny amounts from last year are now $100 next year. So
do you have any purchase from 2011 that you still know you hold?
Yes.
Okay. So that little bit of it, what was the return on that?
I would have to look it up, but really high.
Like what was the starting
price?
We're
talking about Bitcoin that I bought at $100.
10,000%.
Okay. All right. There you go, Augie. Anybody else care to jump into this personal expose?
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie. Like, I've lost $10,000 in profit, but not my initial investment. I did take a one-day hit. I made like $30,000 in like 2 days, and I took a $10,000 hit. I do admit that.
So, when you add up all the money you put in, don't give us the real dollar amount. Just give us percentages. When you talk about all the money that you put in. Can you think about how much that is? Do you have that number in your mind?
Yeah, I have it written down.
Okay, that you put in. And how much bigger is your total portfolio value now than what you originally put in? Like
percentage-wise.
3 times, 5 times, 10 times?
I took in a lot of profit out, but I did make about 10x on average.
Okay.
And I have been trading Bitcoin the last 2 weeks. It's been really, really good. I don't know why nobody's trading it. You buy at 8,000, sell at 10.
Yeah.
Every couple of days.
No. I mean, you got to be fair too to Augie. Like, I remember I bought for my daughter a bike from Overstock when Overstock accepted Bitcoin, and I thought the greatest thing is to kind of show that we can use Bitcoin. So for 2 Bitcoin, I bought a small bike for my daughter. That's a very expensive. In December it was $40,000. I'm like, wow, you know.
It's a nice bike. You could have bought
really
a nice car. Well, you know, and I think you got to look at it this, and Augie, you know this better than any of us. Long term, you buy the dips and you hold. And I mean, and then that's what it should be. And as you sell into extreme highs, like what happened in December when it went from 9,000, I think, at the beginning of December to 20. I mean, you got to take a little off the top. You know, you don't take it all off the top, but you take a little bit off the top and you buy cheaper. And I think that's the goal for the long term.
Yeah, and in 08, or let's see, what was 06, I took a $100,000 loss. I went to cash at that time, or I would have taken a bigger loss, and I wasn't allowed to sit and wait for hell to freeze over because it was freezing.
Yeah, but those people, you know what? And there's a lot of on market timing. But the bottom line is if you were out of this S&P market for the worst, if you were out of for the best 10 days, your returns are like 30% lower than if you just held through those times. The interesting thing about it is 60%. Of the best 10 days came within a week of the worst 10 days. And so you trying to time the markets like that is a loser's game, and it's only done by liars.
Another thing I would like to add is you can also look at it from a generational standpoint. If you take the 1900, what was $1 worth compared to 1990? Okay, so take a really long perspective on a depreciating asset class. You make a bet that the cryptocurrencies will stick around. Just put a little bit in, but you really don't worry about what's going to happen this month, next year. You just build up assets.
Absolutely. That's the best way to go.
I totally agree, because part of mine is it's just the huddle. I'm just waiting.
So the asset argument is the best argument. And what is a hard asset is the ultimate question. And you guys are trying to figure out what the hard asset is among all of this.
Bitcoin.
I don't think we are.
I think Bitcoin. I mean, someone asked me, hey, what was one coin you would invest into? I'd say, if you're going to invest into one coin,
what's
Bitcoin,
the hard asset in your Amazon stock? Other than the physical
I don't, plan. I don't have Amazon.
You know, I just yesterday read this interesting book, The Origins of Virtue, about the monkeys living together in groups and how they share social credit spending pieces of meat. You know, they share meat with each other just to build a social coherent society. And in a certain sense, Bitcoin, all it captures is social credit. It's, you work, you earn something, you put it in there. But now nobody can take it away. It's not like meat that rots overnight. Right?
That is so much like my Facebook timeline. Well, I just put up a gorilla helping a little birdie out of the stream by holding a leaf down for it to climb up. So I think that really brings us full circle here. I was one thing I wanted to make about this Coinbase index fund before we get any farther, because we've got to wrap up, and we want to make sure we give time to all the events coming up this week. I thought he said in the interview there that it's a separate company, but I was thinking one of the reasons they would want to do this is if they could have these funds locked up in an index fund rather than getting inventory off cold storage and onto the exchange, they could just be doing ledger entries and not have that bottleneck when they have to move a lot of their crypto from cold storage to online. I don't know if anybody has a thought about that.
This is the first step into ETNs, and that is what this is really about.
So ETN is?
An exchange-traded note. And so once you get something like that, now Main Street guys can trade it on Ameritrade because it'll be available on CBOE or the CME Group. We'll have that as an exchange-traded as a futures.
And Andy, is there a regulatory need for separating the companies out maybe to make that?
Probably just for liability reasons, the same reason you use separate companies. But, I mean, and also as a separate entity, because they probably have partners in that. They will probably partner with NASDAQ or somebody like that to offer these products. But here's the thing, and it goes back to stock market. All those people trading SVXY and UVXY and all that got crushed. They're more worried, and those are allowed, they're more worried about, if they're going to worry about stuff like that, those are the things they need to go after, because it has no backing. It actually has no value. As at least Bitcoin has a value to it.
We're coming up against the clock. Oh, we're going to go to one last break. We'll come back and wrap up right after this. Henry Rain Show here, wrapping up. On this Saturday, of course, you hear us every Saturday, 12:05 p.m., and as I said, sometimes a little bit longer, so we're in the bonus time right now, at least for a few minutes. I wanted to remind you that coming up Saturday the 24th at 3 o'clock, the next Bradenton Bitcoin and Cryptocurrency Meetup will be at Connect Bradenton, downtown Bradenton, at the corner of Old Main and State Road 64 East, and we'll have many of the voices you hear here in the studio and a special guest from SeekingCryptos.com, Mark Principato. This week, Tuesday night, down in Sarasota, the SRQ Blockchain Mastermind Meetup, and that's going to be 6 o'clock Tuesday at the Uptick Software Office, 1343 Main Street at the corner of Main Street and Pineapple on the 7th floor. Here in the studio, we have Alex Solis, Solis Digital Assets. We got to get to that coin of the week from Alex here in just a second. We have Sabine Priestley, Leonard Lopin, Augie, and Goldbug1, a.k.a. Andy. And do you have a coin of the week for us, Alex? And we've been gone without for 2-plus weeks. I mean, no wonder our portfolios suck compared to Augie's.
All right, right now, what I did the other day, I really thought about it. If you have a coin count of over 500 million, you're going to make like 2x, 3x max. You'll never get a 10, 20, 100x return like you should in crypto. So what I did was I really researched all the coins 500 million or less, and I figured out that...
$500 million or 500 coins?
Coins. 500 million coin count. And so I really narrowed them down. One I really like is INS Ecosystem. And the symbol is INS, and it's on Binance. When it came out in the market in January, it came out around $5. It spiked up to about $12, and then went back down to $1.50, $1.90. It's just hovering in that range. So I added my position from $1.90, and I added more at $1.60. The thing about this one is it's a grocery. It's aimed at grocery stores. It already has active partnerships, and it only has 50 million coins. So this can go to from $1 to $100. With less than a $4 billion market cap, and most cryptos have a billion market cap, the good ones.
And what is it trading for currently?
$1.65.
So right now you're just sort of treading water.
Yeah. I'm just keep adding and adding because when the bull run comes, people are going to see, hey, this one has partnerships. It's a great concept. It's a loyalty program. It's smart contracts for grocery stores. It's a necessity for the future. If the blockchains move forward.
Also, we want to remind you when Mark Principato is down on the week of Saturday the 24th, on the 23rd, that Friday, there'll be a special SeekingCryptos.com event that Andy will tell you more. We're heading over to Mocha Joe's right now with the Brain Trust.
So hopefully we got this resolved next week.
Yes. Okay. Yes. So soon as the venue gets the check in the mail, I think.
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay.
We don't want to announce it too early, and then all of a sudden they say, oh, we're already
booked. Yeah, because you're so busy. I mean, Friday night like on the WhatsApp Brain Trust.
Unbelievable.
You're just waking up on a Friday night. I'm spending all day on a Friday working on the show. Who knows what Augie is? Lennart's got a whole pack of people with him today that he was, I heard on. Alex was taking it easy because he wanted to make sure he made it to the show. He said he was not partying last night. Does anybody in this group ever go out on a Friday night?
Yeah. Can we get an update?
No. Bradenton has good spots. I actually did party last night. Bradenton does have good spots. Safe spots. Drug-free.
Well, I was here. I heard Riverfront's a nice spot.
Anybody ever been there?
I have not.
What is Riverfront?
But, maybe next time it'll be a double date.
Next time?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
how
I wasn't
can it be
invited.
Next time if nobody's admitting to a first time?
Yeah.
All
yeah,
right. I guess.
That's an inside joke here in the studio.
It's just very boring. And that carries more mass as it struck my mass. All right, we'll be back next week with another Henry Range show.
It's a burning thing, and it makes me.